Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
And I am Michelle.
Yeah, you sounded unsure of yourself.
I didn't know if I was supposed to talk or not.
Yeah, you can. Okay,
you're like, backup?
Yeah. Today we have Michelle. Michelle who?
This is Michelle Coyle, and I am from previously on TV podcast, and I'm crossing over to the film today.
Yeah. So today we're talking about our favorite female comedic performance. That's a mouthful. I guess the reason I picked this topic was because I saw, not that I saw the movie, but I saw the ad for, what's that movie?
Oh, the new one with Cameron Diaz,
yeah.
The other woman that looks
Leslie
really...
Leslie Mann,
who I love.
Yeah, who, but she's funny, yeah.
Yeah.
But the movie looks, I don't want, it doesn't look good. And mostly because I don't know who decided...
It's not getting good reviews either. I just saw that.
Here's my only thing. The only negative thing I'll say about female comedic performances. I don't know who got together and said, you know what? Cameron Diaz, that girl, she's funny.
Here's the thing. I don't want to step on anyone's list, but she was funny at one point. I mean, because when she had the right writers in the right part, she was funny.
I don't know what that.
But the thing that bothers me about this new movie, and I haven't seen it, so who am I to judge because I haven't actually seen the movie, but the whole concept is about, like, I mean, from what I can understand, what I gather from the trailer, is that Cameron Diaz is sleeping with Leslie Mann's husband.
Yeah.
And they gang up together and find out that he's sleeping with Kate Upton as well.
Yeah.
And then the three of them are like, we're going to gang up and it's like, why don't you all just break up with him?
Yeah.
How about that? How about you all just say, F you, John Hamm? Is it John Hamm?
Hamm.
Oh, dang.
Jamie Lannister.
Oh, that's right. It is.
Oh, right.
I was trying to remember who it was. Okay.
Yeah, from Game of Thrones.
It just sounds like something John Hamm would play.
Yeah.
It's also, like in Mad Men.
Another woman that I don't think is very funny, but they keep putting her in like comedies, is, Kate Hudson. There hasn't been a performance that she's done that where I've been like, man, that girl made me laugh so much.
Well, yeah, she's more of the romantic comedy lead, which is a kind of a separate thing.
No, she's not funny.
No, she's not your type of funny. She is very How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and those movies are really good for that type of person.
Yeah, she's another
really?
One.
You just don't like
right,
those movies.
If she has the right part written for her, she's good. She's another
Yeah,
one.
There's that, people like, that love those types of romantic comedies, like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Gold. What is that one? Fool's Gold.
Oh,
and
Fool's Gold, yeah.
Was she in that one?
I still have a soft. Like, I have such a soft spot for Kate Hudson because of Almost Famous. I still have a soft spot for her.
She's really funny in that, though.
Yeah. No, it's not like a comment, but I have a total soft spot for her.
She could only ride that card for so many years, you know?
No, what has she done lately? Well, I mean,
why can she only write it for so many years? And it's a good performance, and just take it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I mean, she hasn't, it's not like she's done anything lately.
Yeah,
I don't think really. She cares if she's the best actress ever. Yeah. I don't think she cares about that. I think she just wants to be acting. I don't think she really cares what she's
like,
doing.
I'm good, thanks.
I mean, it's kind of the same way as like J-Lo. Like, she's the right actor for the right person.
I thought her name was pronounced Jolo.
Jenny from the Block.
I'm sorry.
I think some people like those movies, like Wedding Planner and
Maid in Manhattan.
Yeah, and like those ones. And they're
But those are more the romantic comedies. And I think
some people like those a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
You just don't.
But here's the thing. I think maybe what was Bridesmaid rated? Was that PG-13?
R.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, like it just. I know I'm definitely not stepping on anybody's toes when I say, like, one of the funnier, like, and they're not on my list because I had a lot more people on my list, but you probably guys didn't see this movie called Bachelorette, I think it was called.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It's Kirsten Dunst.
It's on Netflix, though, and Rebel Wilson, right?
Lizzie Kaplan, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie was, like, R, and some people kind of went under the radar because everybody thought it was like, oh, it was kind of
it's the same thing,
and it felt a little like Bridesmaid-ish, but it was pretty like as
raunchy.
A comedies go, it was pretty raunchy, but in an honest way. Do you mean like they weren't hamming up the comedy stuff? You know, it was pretty like It was pretty dark. That's what I kind of like about that. It's kind of like there's a couple of like Kirsten Dunst performances that she does like dark stuff.
She does where some dark comedies. I've seen her do dark
stuff. Where she does the pageant, the beauty pageant.
Oh, yeah.
That movie's really funny. I don't know what it's called. But definitely Bachelorette is like really, really good. And I definitely recommend that movie. It's, I mean, called? if you're easily offended, I guess maybe you shouldn't watch it, but it's, I love all of them. All the girls that are in that movie. I think Isla Fisher is in that as well.
Isla Fisher.
What is it?
You pronounce it Isla.
Oh, Isla. Yeah. I love her. I didn't even think about her.
She's in that. Lizzie Kaplan's really funny.
What's that movie called?
I don't know. Drop Dead something?
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Drop Dead Gorgeous. That's right. I just got it up.
Yeah, is it R as well? Or is it PG? Do you know?
I'm pulling it up. 1 second. Does it say somewhere on the IMDb page?
Near the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually PG-13.
Oh, it's more. Well, I'm surprised.
That's not quite as raunchy.
No, but it's pretty dark.
It like is dark,
Some of the stuff they cover is pretty dark. Yeah.
It's a funny one. I forgot about that one.
But yeah, it was, you know what sucks is that a lot of the ones I picked, like it's hard, there's not a lot of female driven like comedies where they're the lead or where even if they're supporting, like they have a major part. Usually it's like they come in, they have like a funniest part and then they leave and that's like, I'm like, ah, like there's not a lot of roles like Bridesmaids and like Bachelorette where they're headlining.
Well, and the crazy thing is that on all the lists out there that were like best comedic performance, just comedic performance, not female or male.
Yeah.
None of them ever had female in there.
Yeah.
None of them.
Yeah.
Like I went to like four different lists that were just plain best comedic performance of all time, and not a single one had a female on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even but like one female.
I found one list that had one female.
Oh,
and,
really?
And it was Bridesmaids, and I'm like, man, there's so many performances, and that's so new. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we'll find out what you ladies think.
Yeah. One of the things that I think what you guys were just talking about the women not necessarily leading movies and especially not in comedies, which is a shame because I mean, I think there's a lot of geniuses today. I mean, you look at these writers today, I'm not even talking, you know, Tina Fey and all these guys today are really amazing writers and they're very funny. And I just wanted to point out that there was an article recently proving that female driven comedies and actually female driven movies in general, not just comedies, do make more money. And they pass what's called the Bechdel test. And the Bechdel test is a test where they're looking for scenes where two women talk to each other, two women who have names. So not just like the waitress, like a woman talking to the waitress, but two main character women talk to each other and they don't talk about men. That's all you have to have to pass the Bechdel test in a film is all you have to have is two women who talk to each other and not about a man. And it's surprising how few movies pass that test. Because, for instance, The Other Woman, which is out with Kristen Wiig, whoever. It's about a man. I mean, yeah, it's got these three women, but it's all about a man. And they actually have proven that the films that do pass that test end up making more money. And there was a whole article on Huffington Post about it.
And they're a very reputable source for news.
Well, I mean, it's a survey. No. It's not like I'm not like quoting the Inquirer here. I'm saying like,
I'm asking you.
Yeah, yeah, it's HuffPo. I mean, like, yeah, they do a lot of, you know, crappy stuff on HuffPo. And you're like, let's talk about, you know, whoever Justin Bieber's dating. I mean, they do show that as well. But I mean, this is a legitimate article about a legitimate study. And they go through all the numbers and those films do make more money. Mm-hmm. Nice. That's the thing. And in making my list, I tried to make sure I picked films that did pass the Bechdel test.
I didn't pick that. I just...
They just have to have at least one time where they're not talking about a man?
Where the women in the scene are not discussing men.
But, I mean, if they do talk about a man in another scene, then it still passes it?
It still passes it. Okay. But it's amazing how few actually...
No, I know. Well, they did one on Hello Giggles, the blog, that said there are no films that do not... talk about that have two females that don't talk about a man or something else or something. Like there was three things on there and they said there's no films at all that do that,
right?
Because they're all like only talk about,
that was like three different criteria.
Yeah, it was that type of thing that you're talking about, but They were like, there's like only one film out there that does it.
Really?
Because they were talking about like, and at all in the movie, not just in one scene.
What it says is that the Bechdel test passing films tend to have a lower budget, but tend to make a lot more money.
Nice.
Is interesting as well. But they tend to have a lower budget as well. And like I said, it's three criteria. The movie has to have more than one named female character. These women have to talk to each other and they have to discuss something other than men. And like, it seems so simple, but so few movies pass that test, yeah. Which is just really, I think, sad. I mean, like, I think maybe that just shows that we need more female writers going out there and going, hey guys, you know what? We actually don't just talk about men and our weight. Like, we actually do talk about politics and stuff too.
Yeah.
But I did think about that as I was making my list. So I'll just put that out there.
All right. Yeah. I didn't think about that. All right. So do you want to go first, Michelle?
Okay.
Yeah. What is your number five?
Sure. My number five, and these, it's one of those things where I have to say they are in no particular order because I kept changing them around. Even 5 minutes ago, I was changing around. Ooh. So number five is Jennifer Coolidge in Best in Show. And I could pick probably any Jennifer Coolidge part that she's in because I think she's fabulous and hilarious in absolutely everything she does. Mm-hmm. But in, of course, Best in Show, it's a great movie. It's one of the Christopher Guest movies, of course. And I was actually really torn even within that movie as to who I was going to pick.
I picked Catherine O'Hara. That's my number five.
Okay. My number five is the entire ladies of the Christopher Guest movies.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, because it was hard because I thought I almost did Catherine O'Hara and A Mighty Wind the other one because I love her in A Mighty Wind.
I think I still like all of them more in Best in Show than A Mighty Wind, but it's Parker Posey, Catherine O'Hara, Jennifer Coolidge, and Jane Lynch are four that are in Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, For Your Consideration, Waiting for Guffman, all those. And they are the... Every single time you watch that movie, they shine just as much as the men do in that movie.
Right. And here is a movie that is written by men. But it's a lot of
really
improv.
Written. Yeah.
Yeah. Because all these ladies they all came up together. Catherine O'Hara and Jennifer Coolidge. They all are those. What is it? They're all Second City, right? Is that they all came up from Second City?
Yeah.
And they're just some of the funniest. They're amazing improvers. They can just do that. And it's amazing. And that's not easy. I was reading a quote the other day about improvising, which I think people have that maybe aren't in the acting world think it could be easy to improv. And it was a quote from Cliff, the guy who plays Cliff on Cheers. And he said, no, being funny is easy. The hard part is knowing when not to talk. And I think that's a big problem with people, especially actors. They like to hear themselves talk. So it's actually the moments where they shut up and listen and that tend to be the best moments. But I was just rewatching a couple clips with Jennifer Coolidge, especially that last scene with Jennifer Coolidge and Jane Lynch when they end up together in Best in Show.
Yeah.
It's so funny. But I think she's amazing. But again, it was hard for me to pick. I was going between her and Catherine O'Hara and then, but Catherine O'Hara and A Mighty Wind so good. And and Jane Lynch is really good. And Parker Posey in Best in Show. I think that might be my favorite part for Parker Posey was her in Best in Show as well.
Yeah.
Best
I
in
love
Show
her
might be my favorite of them.
I think it is too. I always go back and forth,
so,
but I think that one's
so should we just
be
say
favorite.
Best in Show in general for number five?
Best in Show number
all the
five
women in Best in Show.
And you picked Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah,
I love her
as Cookie Fleck.
Cookie. Yeah, she's Cookie, and
she is really funny in A Mighty Wind, though.
She's so funny in A Mighty Wind, but she's so. I mean, I was thinking, what about her in Beetlejuice? Like, that's another role that you don't necessarily think of. Oh, comedy. It doesn't necessarily pop in your head, but she's so funny in it because Michael Keaton really takes over that movie in a lot of ways. But her character is just so funny as the mom.
Well, she's really funny. I mean, even though she plays the worried mom, she's really funny in Home Alone.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
She went, her scenes with like John Candy and like just like dealing with like the airline front desk attendant.
Mm-hmm.
She's just amazingly funny. She just consistently really
she's
really funny.
Very funny, and she also is great with character work.
Yeah,
like every movie she's in, she's completely different, which I love.
She's good
as
in Orange County.
Yeah, same with Jennifer Coolidge. Actually, she's very has.
I know,
she
I
does these great
of her
character
in,
stuff.
Legally Blonde.
Oh yeah, she's. So
I love her in that movie. She's so funny in that.
She's like, she's like drop and pick.
Yeah,
whatever. And she sticks her tush out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really
the bend
like
and
it.
Snap. That's what it is.
Yeah, bend and snap. That's it. It's very, very funny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we covered. That was my number five. My number five was Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, that's my number five too.
Cool.
But Yeah, no, seriously, they're in all of his movies. I think the women, it's so hard in any movie that's going to have a male as a lead. It's hard to have any female that's going to shine the same level as the male, and especially with that big cast.
And when it's written by a guy. Yeah. It's written, I mean, it's written by Christopher Guest and Eugene Levy, so.
It's amazing that that they can, they're up there just shooting
yeah,
along.
Yeah, I mean, they all came up together. They all are from, a lot of them are all from the Second City crowd, mm-hmm. and they all kind of came up together, working together, and they know how to work off each other really well, and I think that's obvious in all the movies.
Yeah.
Which I love.
I think they're all Canadian, too, no?
Oh, yeah, that might be it. They're all Canadian. Ew, I mean, we'll forgive them. Oh, I'm just kidding, Canadians. You're not that bad. You're adorable.
Jennifer Coolidge is from Massachusetts.
Oh, she's from Massachusetts.
Yeah, but I think Catherine O'Hara and like a bunch of other ones from like Second City were from Canada.
A lot of them
yeah.
came uh-huh. down from Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your number five, Jenny?
I'll put that as my number five, too.
All right. Okay. So, that? Michelle, what is your number four?
Oh, we're going all the way to me again. Yeah. All right. So, this was a kind of a difficult one for me. I decided to go with Goldie Hawn in First Wives Club.
Oh.
And it was difficult because I almost felt like you did, I had to put Bette Midler and Diane Keaton in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie where it really is about all of them, you know, all the first
yeah,
wives.
Yeah. They're all in at the same amount. Yeah.
So I was all like, supporting. Oh, I have to pick one. And that was really tough.
That's okay. You can do the whole cast.
Right.
If you
want. So, I mean, they're amazing. And I ended up picking Goldie Hawn out of the three because I just love when she gets her lips done and she comes out and she has those like big fish lips. And it's yeah. something that my mom and I used to always do to each other when we were little. We'd do the Goldie Hawn lips at each other when I was younger. And I have but then Diane Keaton has a great line about how she's a turkey being pulled and pasted together in all different directions, but all three of them. And I think that's the movie where Bette has the line, "I beat Meryl," which of course Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, used it is. Yeah.
The Oscars. Yeah. I beat Meryl.
Yeah.
But I think the three of them, and now that I'm talking about it, I haven't seen that movie in years. I want to go see that movie so bad.
I know. I used to watch it all the time. Anytime it was on TV,
yeah.
I'd watch it.
And I think even though, I mean, it does pass the Bechdel test, even though they are talking a lot about their husbands, but they do talk about, I watched other things. Yeah.
Well, they make a whole business.
Right. They do. They like, they do a lot of, they do discuss other things as well. And it's not about the husbands.
I've never seen that movie.
You never seen it? It's very funny.
It's funny.
It is very funny.
No. There's the men in it are funny too. Like all their husbands are funny. It's a great cast.
The summary of it is reunited by the death of a college friend, three divorced women seek revenge on their husbands who left them for younger women. But yeah,
it's really funny. Yeah.
Diane Keaton, Bette Midler. I mean, they're huge. They're all very different ladies. And you were talking about Kate Hudson earlier. In a lot of ways, she reminds me of her mom. But I think Goldie Hawn's hilarious.
Yeah, I think Goldie Hawn can definitely hold her own.
She's so funny. Private Benjamin, like, she's mm-hmm. amazing. And I mean, she's very,
Overboard.
Very funny. Oh that's my gosh, so I didn't even think about Overboard. That was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid with Kurt Russell. Man. Yeah. That movie, and she has that closet of shoes, and it's amazing. But I do love that movie. Actually, I didn't even think about Overboard, although I don't know if that would pass the Bechdel test. Think yeah. about probably not.
Well, there's only one female, right?
Right, I think there is, really. All right, so Jenny, what's your number four?
All right, so for my number four, I picked Kathleen Turner in Romancing the Stone.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I just saw that movie for the first time within the past year. And I still think it's one of my favorite action comedies of all time.
Everybody in that movie is awesome, but today we're talking about female comedians. But I mean, I love that movie. That was one of the movies I was kind of obsessed with, and I wanted is it crocodiles or alligators in that movie? I don't know the difference.
I think it's crocodiles.
Yeah, well, I wanted crocodile boots when I was a kid.
I guess maybe that's alligator boots, probably.
Maybe, yeah.
Not crocodile.
But she, what's her name? What's her name again?
Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner, yeah.
She's amazing in everything.
She plays Joni Wilder, the novelist, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And she is so funny that I like the scene.
Joan
Wilder, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the scene where they go to the little village and they knock on the door and the actor, I don't know his name, but the character's name, but the actor is Alfonso Arau. He's like, "What do you want?" And then he figures out that she's the writer. And she's like, "Muchachos, this is Joni Wilder."
yeah.
But she's pretty funny, and she's like such a good duo with Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the sequel, kind of?
No, I didn't know there was one.
Jewel of the Nile.
What's it called?
I've seen it, but it's been years.
I haven't seen it as an adult, but I remember it not being. It just wasn't as good as Romancing the Stone. Yeah. Romancing the Stone was just so funny, and it was a combination of like them, the location, the fact that it was an adventure, and like it was just so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
She also worked with Michael Douglas in The War of the Roses. So yeah, they have a good. They have a really good.
Three of them. Danny DeVito as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So they had a good comedic thing. But I also, when I think of Kathleen Turner now, of course, I think of Chandler's dad.
That's I know.
But she's so funny. She's so funny. She's amazing.
She also had a really good run in that show on Showtime with David Duchovny.
Californication.
Yeah, she had a really good.
Oh, that's right. Oh, she did.
Yeah, she was funny.
About that.
But yeah, that's a good pick. That's your number four.
Yeah.
For my number four, I picked. So this is it's a two way tie for me. It's the same movie, two different women, but it's just one of them is just it's funny how both of them play very opposite characters. How the characters are in the movie, they're very different, but they're both amazingly funny. And I'm talking about Tracy Ullman and Elaine May in Small Time Crooks, the Woody Allen movie. And I know the movie, a lot of people didn't like this movie. A lot of people shit on like this, Curse of the Jade Scorpion, Hollywood ending. Woody Allen had a weird period where like they were just okay, but I'm a big Woody Allen fan and I love all his movies. And this movie in particular, Tracy Ullman plays a character named Frenchie, and she's Woody Allen's wife in the movie. And she's just like I think they're from, where are they from? Like New Jersey or something. And Tracy Ullman's just like so like big and like over the top, like funny, and like she's just amazingly funny. And then Elaine May plays a character named May, and she's kind of like, in the movie, I think they call her a half-wit. She's supposed to be not that smart, but like the way she delivers all her lines, like it's just amazingly funny, like deadpan, like comedy stuff, and like the way she acts with the other like characters in the movie, that's the hardest laughs I get from that movie is from Elaine May, especially at the end when her and Woody Allen are hanging out a lot, and Woody Allen has all these like ideas and things that he's expressing as his character, and Elaine May like just. What she gets out of it is like the funniest thing because she finds she reacts to the most like so mundane things that Woody Allen's talking about, and she's just amazing. But very like subtle and very cool performance from Elaine May, who when I watched Small Time Crooks, I didn't realize all her body of work that she has done before that as you know comedic work.
Which one, Elaine May?
Elaine, have you seen Small Time Crooks?
Mm-mm.
Elaine May is you wouldn't know, but Elaine May has done a ton of stuff. Let me pull up.
I got it up.
She's done she was in Birdcage, she was in Heaven Can Wait, which they later remade. I wasn't a fan of that. New Leaf with Walter Matthau. She's in, I think she's in The Graduate. She's in, she's in Enter Laughing. I don't know that. Based on the play.
She was a writer as well. Birdcage, it lists her as writer.
I think she's in it as well, if I remember correctly. But she's amazingly funny. And I'm kind of sad that Woody Allen hasn't used her in more movies. Because she's amazingly funny. But yeah.
So, well, I love Tracy Ullman.
Yeah.
I used to love the Tracy Ullman show. Back in the day, she's so funny.
Well, that's where the Simpsons first kind of
made their first appearance.
So yeah, two-way tie: Tracy Ullman and Elaine May in Small Time Crooks. Michelle.
Okay. I just love Tracy Ullman. I think she's so funny. I always think of her as TV. I don't like think of her film. I don't go to Tracy Ullman for some reason. But very very funny. Okay, so for my I'm on my number three, right? We're already on number three. Jeez, that went by fast. My number three is Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act.
Oh, nice.
Which I just love. I mean, it's such a great movie. It's so funny. And just the idea of sticking that type of personality in a, you know, in a nunnery. I don't know. What are they called? Are they called that? Is that a thing? I don't know if that's even a thing. But where she becomes a nun. And it's just... And it's an over-the-top broad comedy, and they're singing, and she's a lounge singer, and now she's a nun, and it's hilarious. And it's got a lot of, it's got a huge, great cast. And I forgot Maggie Smith played the Mother Superior in it as well.
Well, it's very much, what's it called? Is it Some Like It Hot? The one with Jack Lemmon?
Yeah.
It's very much that, where she has to go on the run.
Right, because she's in witness protection, yeah. And they put her in the convent. I guess it's called convent. Yeah. They put her in the convent, and she has to be a nun because she's gone. She witnessed a mob crime while she was a lounge singer. I mean, it sounds like such a ridiculous idea for a movie, and it did really well.
She's really funny in it.
It's so funny. I mean, it's a huge hit.
Who was the female? Is it Cameron Mannheim that's in it? Who's in this?
Oh yeah, I think Cameron Mannheim's in it. Yeah. Kathy Najimy's in it.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Not Catherine Mannheim. It's Kathy Najimy, who I love, of course, from King of the Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. She plays Peggy Hill.
She does. But like I said, Maggie Smith plays Mother Superior. Like, you know, you got the Dowager Countess in there. Harvey Keitel's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great comedy cast. I recommend people see it again if you hadn't seen it in a while, just for a good, it's a good laugh. I can't believe it came out in 92.
She's also funny in Ghost.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, well, she is. She's great in Ghost.
She has, like, I mean, for how...
See, she's more of a broad comedy actress, and so when they stick her, but she does these great character roles because of it. She's these huge characters that are just great.
I think that's what I like about Ghost, is that it could have been very sappy, you know what I mean? Like, a love story. But because of the fact that you have Whoopi Goldberg's like storyline weaved into, you know, into the movie, it gives it such great like comedic.
She actually won an Oscar for Ghost. I forgot that. I forgot that it was for Ghost. But it was Ghost that she won the Oscar.
Yeah.
And she was nominated for The Color Purple, but she won for Ghost.
Yeah. All right. That is your number three.
My number three.
Jenny? I need to watch that movie again. It's been a while.
Yeah it's been a while.
It's been a while too. But when I started thinking. It was good. I mean, I still remember liking it, but, you know, it's fun. I definitely saw it. I don't remember specifically in my head, but I did see it.
Jennifer?
All right. So for my number three, I picked Diane Keaton from Annie Hall.
Oh, yay.
I was going to put it on, but I figured somebody would put it on. So,
I like her in most movies she does. I think she's funny, even if the movie itself isn't that good. I think she's still fantastic in it.
Well, even if
I think this is her funniest role.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, even if the role isn't funny, she still finds a humor in it and makes it like a lot of fun to watch. She's one of those actresses that, no matter what she's in, it's fun to watch her.
Mm-hmm.
She just, I don't know, she's just really good. There's not a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
There's not a lot of actresses that are like that. They're just fun. Like, even in her serious roles, like, she's just fun to look at, to watch.
She's very natural. Yeah. I think that's a big thing. She doesn't do giant, broad characters at all.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't do broad comedy. Yeah. She just does it very straight and very from herself. And you feel like she must be a naturally funny person because everything, it's funny, but it's not like she's doing like, hey, I'm making a face and doing something wacky with my body. It's like, this is just me and I'm being funny.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see why Woody Allen liked her so much in everything that he did for as long as he had her in things.
Well, pretty much you could say Diane Keaton anything Woody Allen, basically. And all her comedic performances for Woody Allen are pretty amazing.
And she's great in First Wives Club too.
Yeah.
She's good. But again, she's very natural, which it's interesting in First Wives Club with Diane Keaton because she's such an opposite of Bette Midler and Goldie Hawn, who are both very broad, and she's much more subdued, which is, it's just, that's her style, and I dig it.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite scenes in Annie Hall is the scene where they're talking on the balcony.
And they're actually saying what they're saying
in the subtitles. That's one of my favorite scenes. And I mean, pretty hard to kind of, because it must have been difficult to film that, you know, just because you had to act both parts, both what you were saying and what they were going to put in later.
Right.
Post.
Yeah.
Good pick. Number three. That was your number
three? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My number three, I picked the actress, and I picked one movie in particular, but I'm going to mention the other one as well. But I picked Madeline Kahn for Young Frankenstein. Mm. I love her in that.
I picked Madeline Kahn as my number two.
For
and
what?
I picked her for Blazing Saddles.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So we'll go ahead and we'll talk about both. Right. But I was torn.
Yeah.
And then for Young Frankenstein, I was also torn between her and Cloris Leachman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was hard. It was kind of a hard choice. I was like, I want to do one of those ladies. And I love Madeline Kahn. But I loved her in Blazing Saddles. But in Young Frankenstein, she's great.
It's funny because Blazing Saddles, I didn't see till like I was a little older. So I didn't really grow up with it. Mm. Where Young Frankenstein I grew up with and was just amazingly like funny to me. Like, especially her scenes and especially the scenes with Frankenstein at the end. Mm. Like when they're a couple and she's like, I got you the hamper for your poopy underwear.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not sure if that did pass the Bechdel test. For, I don't know if either of those movies actually passes the Bechdel test.
Probably not. But she's amazingly funny. She's not in very much of the movie, but the scenes she's in, she kind of just steals them because she's so like funny. And I also have to mention Paper Moon. Her scenes in Paper Moon are so, so funny.
Well, she was nominated for an Academy Award for Paper Moon and Blazing Saddles.
Oh, wow.
She didn't win either of those, but she was nominated for both those for an Academy Award.
She's pretty amazing.
She's great. Yeah. I mean, she's one of those classic comedy women that's just always funny. I don't know what her background is, like where she came up through, like what her school was or anything like that. I don't know if she did any of the comedy schools.
Yeah, but
I'm not sure.
Just funny overall.
And she works obviously really great with Mel Brooks. She was like his go-to gal.
Yeah.
For a long time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, you know what? Terry Garr's great in Young Frankenstein too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So that is my number. What is it? Three.
And that was also my number two.
Okay.
But I went with Blazing Saddles. But it was a hard. Decision between the two for me because they're both she's very funny in all of them. So she's also great in History of the World Part One.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's another one that's a great movie.
That's a movie that tricked me for many years because I watched it and I'm like, fucking hey, they're going to make a sequel. You know? And then I'm like, I'm so excited for this sequel. And like, I'd be like, oh, I wonder when that sequel for that movie's coming out. Well, it never came.
Well, I mean, you know, he did the History of the World Part One is up to today. And we'll get to part two, you know, for the rest of another 100 years. Yeah. And that's fine. Yeah. You know, Springtime for Hitler is one of the best musical numbers ever.
All right. So that was Madeline Kahn was the number three. Michelle's number two. So it's to Jenny. My number two
is Reese Witherspoon in Election.
Ooh, good.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
When you said
Reese Witherspoon, I was like Legally Blonde.
Sweet Home Alabama.
In Sweet Home Alabama. You have a baby in a bar.
Yeah.
That's all I remember from Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, I think Reese Witherspoon's great in a lot of things, actually. Even the romantic comedies.
I think
she's
in
great
Legally
in all
Blonde.
Of them.
I mean, in Election, she's great, but I do love her in Legally Blonde.
Yeah,
They're different movies.
In all of them.
Election is a little bit darker.
Yeah.
It's a little bit darker comedy.
She's so crazy. I love it.
Tracy Flick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flick for president.
That's Alexander Payne, right? Isn't it? Election?
I think you're
it
right.
Is. It is.
I think you're right.
You guys looked at each other confusing.
No, yeah, I don't know.
I think you're right.
I think it was like his like second movie or something.
And Matthew Broderick's right in that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't
Yes, Alexander
Chris,
Payne.
Chris Klein? Wasn't that one of his first roles?
I think that is one of his first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
1999. Unless he did American Pie before
I forgot
this.
About that.
Yeah. I think this one was first. But no, she was really great in this. She's just such... Oh, man.
I know. I love this movie. It's so funny.
Yeah. Just the end with the scene with her and Matthew Broderick is pretty... It's pretty funny. So that is your number two.
Yeah. If anyone hasn't seen it in a while, you definitely need to go back and rewatch it. I just rewatched it like within the past couple years, and it was just as funny as the first time.
It's so good, and it's got that really dark satire to it. That's wonderful.
It's so good. It's definitely dark comedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, all of Alexander Payne's movies are very, very dark comedies.
Yeah.
Hell, Kathy Bates is really funny in About Schmidt. That was another Alexander Payne movie. All right. My number two. This is gonna be difficult. So my number two, my number one, I'll. Man. All right. Okay. So my number two is Naomi Watts in I Heart Huckabees.
Oh, really? That's who you went with?
Well, my number one is Lily Tomlin.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Well, here's the problem is that at the end I got bunched up for me, and like so Lily Tomlin really it's for two movies. I'll explain later. Lily Tomlin could be just her
career.
All right,
career,
well,
we'll go to that later. I know. Well, that was yeah.
Number two, Naomi Watts, I Heart Huckabees. To this point, we hadn't seen Naomi Watts be funny at all in any movie that I can remember. She had done like Mulholland Drive, I think she was in all those movies.
Yeah, she doesn't do comedies at all.
Yeah, yeah. She was in the Alejandro Iñárritu movie. 21 Grams, and
she does a lot of drama.
Very like just a lot of drama, a lot of crying, and this was the first time that it's just great to see like, and to see the fact that a lot of great dramatic actresses could easily do comedy because they treat comedy serious and not they don't approach it like oh how could I make this funny they just approach it as how could I play the truth in this, and she's just so funny in this. And And her scenes with like Jude Law, where they're fighting and they're explaining their sex lives to like Dustin Hoffman.
Oh yeah,
it's just amazingly
funny. She's
like,
it's quantity, not quality.
But yeah, so her and Jude Law are amazingly funny, and then in the scenes where she loses it and goes to her video shoot for Huckabees, and she's like she's got like chocolate all over her mouth, and she's like covered up, and she's got that weird hat on. She's just amazingly funny, and every scene she's in, I always laugh at. But we'll keep on talking about this movie because it's also my number one. So, Michelle,
I need to rewatch that movie.
Yeah, it is, and I love Lily Tomlin, and she's didn't quite make my list. I wanted to put her on for 9 to 5, but then I hadn't seen 9 to 5 in a very long time.
That's why. Okay, so
I feel like I want, but yeah. Okay, so I'll go ahead and say my number
What's your recap and then your number one?
Okay. My number one might be a little bit divisive, I think, now that I think about it.
Give us your recap.
So my recap is number five, Jennifer Coolidge and Best in Show. Number four, The First Wives Club. I went with Goldie Hawn, but all three are amazing. Number three, Whoopi Goldberg and Sister Act. Number two, Madeline Kahn in Blazing Saddles. And my number one, and I do think, and now that I'm like, this may not be, but I just love her. And I feel like people are going to argue this one, Ricardo. And it is Sandy Bullock in Miss Congeniality.
I just took that. That's one of my honorable mentions, for sure. I moved it down to number six.
She's the funniest
thing. Why would I argue?
Because I don't know. You like hate Sandy Bullock.
I don't hate her. What are you talking about? Just because I didn't like one of her movies, which was the one she did with McCarthy.
I didn't love Heat.
I never saw it.
I didn't like it at all. But I think she's amazingly funny, Miss Congeniality.
I think she is. I think she's so good. And when she's playing the cups, the glasses, she's just the funny. I mean, if you just want to sit back and like not think about the world for 2 hours, like, and just laugh, she's so freaking funny in that movie.
The whole movie in general is
funny.
It's
just a funny movie.
Every part of it. She's hilarious.
She's wearing like a German like outfit, like with playing the glasses.
Oh yeah.
I have to say, I really enjoy Sandra Bullock, and I think she gets a lot of flack from a lot of people, and I think she's actually very talented. Yeah. But I know a lot of people that think, oh, she's not good, but she's good, and I think she's good in drama and comedy. Yeah. You know, I loved her in The Blind Side. I thought she did an amazing job. Now, Gravity, I like Gravity. Maybe it wasn't the best performance, but yeah, I liked her a lot in that. She got, I believe...
I like her in a little movie called Speed.
And at Speed, she's like, you may have heard of it. Yeah. It's called
Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. But I just love me some Sandy Bullock.
I don't remember what... I saw Miss Congeniality too, but I don't remember it that well.
I don't remember Miss Congeniality too at all.
Her and Michael Caine have good chemistry. Like,
yeah.
They made a good pair.
That was so funny.
She was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Oh, okay.
But she didn't win for Miss Congeniality.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She was, but she didn't win. But I just think
no,
it's
yeah,
great.
She's so funny in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you're number one, Jenny.
You're all recapping. Right. You're number one.
Benjamin Bratt, too. All right. So my number five was the Christopher Guest ladies, Parker Posey, Catherine O'Hara, Jennifer Coolidge, and Jane Lynch. My number four was Kathleen Turner in Romancing the Stone. My number three was Diane Keaton and Annie Hall. My number two was Reese Witherspoon in Election. And my number one, we spoke of it earlier, is the entire Bridesmaids cast.
Okay.
Nice.
I could not pick one. I mean, I can pick my favorites out of them, but it's still going to be about five of the ladies out of all of them. So it includes Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, Rose Byrne, Melissa McCarthy, Rebel Wilson, Wendy McClendon Covey, and Ellie Kemper. And Wendy McClendon Covey is so funny.
She's
and
so funny.
Goldberg's. And so
she's funny in everything.
And everything
she's
she
so
does,
great.
She's hilarious.
She's another one who's really good at these characterizations
yes.
that are just great, amazing,
oh my God, she's
perfect
so funny.
Characterizations. I love her as an actor. She's talented. She's got skills.
She's from Reno 911, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's
But I love Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy mm-hmm. in that. I feel like Bridesmaids, is that kind of what put Melissa McCarthy really on the map?
Kind of.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love Kristen Wiig for writing it and for
and Maya Rudolph. Their chemistry is great together.
Yeah.
And what's the other woman's name that she wrote with?
Oh, she's the woman on the airplane.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And
her name.
I can't think of her name right now.
Yeah.
Off the top
she's
of my
head. She's in a bunch of stuff. She's also,
she's really funny too.
She's
even.
Currently on the show with About a Boy, right?
Yeah.
Is that still going on?
Yeah.
I really like it.
It's actually,
I really like About a Boy, guys. I'm going to put that out there.
Once you get over, like,
Mamolo. That's her name. Annie Mamolo.
Oh, okay. Once you get past the fact that it's not Hugh Grant, and you're like, it's not Hugh Grant.
But I dig that guy.
Yeah, the guy is pretty funny.
He's really good. Yeah.
He was in another show that I really, really enjoyed, and I forgot the name of it.
Yeah. He's always on shows
couples.
That fail.
Yeah.
And you feel sad.
But Minnie Driver is no Toni Collette, but she's playing it very differently.
She's very different.
She's
than
not
Toni
playing
Collette's
it
part.
like manic depressive. She's playing mm-hmm. it a different way, which like more overprotective than anything. And it works for like the new setting, which is San Francisco instead of like London. And the kid who plays Will. No, the kid who plays the young.
The boy. It's about a boy.
Yeah. He's really funny. He was funny in the
oh yeah, he's
show
really good.
With Josh Gad.
Oh yeah, he was in 1600 Pin.
Yeah,
oh,
played
okay.
the little brother. But he's very good
he's
as
really
well.
Good.
I've been really enjoying About a Boy.
Yeah,
I really like it. I don't know if it's gonna succeed because I don't know if it's getting the numbers. But I do enjoy. Mm. I'm gonna throw that out there. I enjoy About a Boy.
Yeah.
There it goes.
Okay,
that's a little bit for my TV podcast.
Yeah,
I haven't done About a Boy. I probably should do.
Yeah,
get more viewers.
I have to say, my favorite person in Bridesmaids is Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, that's what all the dudes say.
It's just because
that's
she's
what all
so,
every single
you know
guy
why?
Says.
Because
Melissa
she can put
McCarthy.
Her leg up like this.
I
know
think so.
It's terrible.
No, it was the poop. It was the pooping.
Because
it was
like,
the
she
pooping.
Pooped, she pooped.
That's
in
the that's everyone's favorite part is the pooping.
Yeah.
Well, all like, the boys' poop. Favorite part.
Poop is funny.
By far my favorite scene with Miss McCarthy is when she looks over and what's her name? Kristen Wiig looks over and they're driving next to each other and she's got a bunch of puppies in her car. She's so
yeah. No, that movie.
She took all the puppies.
Yeah.
Because they gave out puppies as gifts at the bridal shower. What?
And then she ends up like saving the day too with her and like is like, you need to get up off your ass and do something. You want to be, I'm not going to baby you. She's like, hit me.
hit me.
I'll hit you. You hit me. Whatever. It's so funny.
She wanted to start a Fight Club, too.
Of course, she was nominated for that. Yeah. That's right, for an Oscar, which is unusual.
Yeah.
In
your recap, you mentioned Parker Posey. And, you know, did you ever see Blade Trinity, which was part three?
No.
Her and Ryan Reynolds were the best part, but because they were so funny. Like, Parker Posey played a vampire in it. But she was still
everything.
So funny. Yeah, yeah.
She's funny in Scream 3.
Yeah.
She's hilarious in Scream 3.
Parker Posey's one that, I mean, she's like the indie queen. And I'm surprised she hasn't done a lot of bigger stuff. I'm surprised she doesn't pop up in like summer blockbusters. And she's just amazingly funny and very
proficient. She's very talented and it makes me think that maybe she chooses not to. Like, maybe. That's just not something she's in any way interested in.
Maybe.
Because she's very talented, and there's no reason for... And it's not like people don't... People work with her. They work with her again.
Yeah.
So it's not like I think, oh, she must be a bad person or difficult to work with. Because, like, these people constantly work with her.
Yeah.
So it leads me to believe that it's her own choice to not do other stuff.
Yeah. So, all right. So my recap is number five.
I will say this, though, before we get off the subject with Bridesmaids. I think that... that when Bridesmaids happened, which was what, 2011 or 2012?
Yeah, 2 years.
It really, I think that really changed a lot of people's opinions on females and anything really, but comedy mostly. But I think it really, like, that's when I think people started thinking, why aren't we
seeing more of this?
Yeah. Why isn't this a thing? Like, why isn't this more?
And it made a lot of money.
It was so different. Yeah. It was so different. Like, nobody had done that before.
I'm looking at this now. It had a budget of $32 million, and it made $287 million.
I'm pretty sure. I read somewhere it made the most out of any R-rated movie.
Yeah, and it was an R-rated movie like that.
Yeah.
I have to say,
because it's females. Because I know.
I think it was just because it was different time. Because
it was different. It was very funny. It has nothing. I don't think it necessarily has to do with the fact that it was females, but it was something different.
No,
it was not the same thing.
I'm asking what's the record it broke. Because I know Hangover still holds the highest grossing R-rated comedy. Maybe is it female-driven comedy? Maybe.
I can't remember. I saw it somewhere that it said it held some record for making the most money in something.
But still, no matter what you're... Like, if it's playing on TV, I'll sit through certain moments, like, before I change it, just because it's like, oh, this moment's coming up, I gotta watch that, and then I'll move on from channel surfing.
Yeah,
but it's really funny. I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, no, I think it was great for its time, and I think it will definitely. It's starting to lead to more things. I mean, if after that happened, I can already name off the top of my head like three more full female cast.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids is actually the highest grossing Judd Apatow movie.
Oh, really?
Ever.
Oh, okay.
And so there's that as well. And he's like, no, and he just like, I just produced this. What? Yeah. It does say highest grossing R-rated female comedy. It passed Knocked Up to become the highest. In 2011 it passed it. Actually, I have to say one thing. And I have like a, you know, couple small comedy videos on YouTube, and they're nothing really, but just like little things, and I think they're funny, whatever. I put them up, and I did get the comment on one of my YouTube videos from a guy who literally just, all he said in the comment was, women shouldn't even try to be funny. And I was like, okay, dude, like, maybe you don't find what I'm doing funny, but like, just to like say that all women in the world aren't funny, I mean, that's ridiculous.
He's all fact.
He's like, fact, women shouldn't be funny, shouldn't even try to be funny. And it's like, what? Who are you? What basement are you in, you idiot? I'm like, yeah, maybe you don't, like, fine, don't find me funny. Lots of people don't find me funny. Awesome. I don't care. But like, you know, I mean, like Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Melissa McCarthy, there's plenty of funny women out there. Yeah. So like, dude, open your horizons. Yeah. And if you're out there, dude, open your horizons.
Maybe this guy he was old timey and he had like a twirly mustache. And he's like, young madam, I saw you in my magic box and I thought you were not funny. he's a time traveler.
He's a time traveler.
And
he
finds like slapstick, like old vaudeville stuff.
He's like, I only find slipping on banana pills and puns are the highest form of comedy,
and people getting slapped in the face with pies.
That is hilarious. All right, you need to do your recap.
Okay, my number five was Catherine O'Hara in Best in Show. Four was a two-way tie between Tracy Ullman and Elaine May in Small Time Crooks. Three was Madeline Kahn and Young Frankenstein / Paper Moon.
Yeah.
Two, what did I pick for number two? Naomi Watts and I Heart Huckabee. And my number one, it's really 9 to 5, but I haven't seen it in a long time, so I can't really comment on it. But I remember having a ball watching that.
He's
like, I'm having
hell of a ball.
Because Ricardo's throwing lots of balls, guys.
Also, because when I saw it when I was younger, there was a lot of like dirty, like innuendo stuff, you know, that as a kid I was like, oh man, they're making a dirty joke, you know, and I'm so excited about that. But it's really Dolly Parton, Lily Tomlin, and Jane Fonda are pretty amazing in that. Yeah. As you know, and this isn't male performances, but Dabney Coleman is pretty, it's pretty awesome.
Well, he's good in everything.
Yeah, yeah. But so my official number one is Lily Tomlin in I Heart Huckabee, because I've seen that recently. And she's pretty amazing in this.
She's amazing in everything. Yeah. Lily Tomlin's definitely like, I honestly couldn't put her on my list because I couldn't pick a movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, oh, but she's so good in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this movie, she's amazing in this. So is Emmy Watts. But what's really uncomfortable to watch and also funny is Lily Tomlin and David Russell going at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody's seen that YouTube video, yeah. right?
If you haven't seen it, you like just Google search Lily Tomlin, David Russell fighting.
It's amazing.
And it's like video captured like behind the scenes of like David Russell fighting with Lily Tomlin. Have you seen this?
On set of Huckabee. Oh, yeah. And it gets a little violent.
And then there's one also where it's Dustin Hoffman, Hubert, I forgot her first name, the French actress.
I don't know.
And Dustin Hoffman are in a car and they're arguing with David Russell. And Lily Tomlin is so like such a tough cookie, man. Like she like Dustin Hoffman's trying to calm her down and he's like, "You shut the fuck up too." He's like, you just sit there and shut the fuck up.
That's what she said to
Dustin Hoffman. I was like, whoa.
Isabelle Hubert.
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman and her as the couple, the married couple that are also existential detectives, they're just pretty amazing. They're just
that's the concept of the movie, guys. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And have you ever moved in time and space?
Like, yes.
Yes. Wait. No. Well, space, but not time. Wait. I don't understand the question.
And if you haven't seen this movie, yeah, it might be a little out there for some people, but it's one of the funniest. And it kind of makes you think, you know, like I dabbled in existentialism after that. But it's a really, really fun movie. You should check it out. There's a lot of great performances in that. Actually, everybody who's in that. I haven't seen Mark Wahlberg any funnier than in that movie. He's pretty funny in Pain and Gain. Yeah. He is. But in this, he's just so funny. He's like, Senorita, can you explain to me why in this day and age, I don't have an electric car? Also, there's a really young Jonah Hill in this. I forgot about that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So check that out. That is my number one, Lily Tomlin in I Heart Huckabee. Any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I have a few, and this was mainly because I couldn't think of movies that I loved them in that much. But yeah, Tina Fey, of course, Amy Poehler. I think they're a great team.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoy Baby Mama. I still do. When she put the safety thing on the toilet seat, and Amy Poehler is peeing in the sink because she can't figure out how to open up. She's like, I couldn't figure out how to open up your toilet. And then Ricardo and I still always quote the I don't know your business. Like all the time from Baby Mama. I don't know your life. And then another one for me. Well, I had Lily Tomlin on my list and Reese Witherspoon from Legally Blonde. But another couple was Mindy Sterling in Anything. Primarily, of course, Austin Powers. She's amazing in that and just so funny and great with her characters. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, Rosie O'Donnell in A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she's so funny.
Her and Madonna are both really funny.
Madonna too. Both of them, and together they're
weren't
great.
Weren't they, like, best friends for a while?
They were. Yeah, they were. Yeah. Well, they all trained together and, like, did. Yeah. Like, I think Rosie was the only one that really knew how to play baseball, right? Or was Gina. Maybe Gina. I can't remember. So I think it was Rosie O'Donnell knew how to play baseball.
Yeah.
And the rest of them but they all trained together and became good friends because of it.
They made a really good team. Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna made
it. Just listening to a thing about A League of Their Own, and they actually, all those games there, they actually played them. They played full games. Like, some of them were better than others, but they played full games so that they could just film it.
Oh, wow.
And grab stuff
around it. Shots.
Yeah. But Rosie O'Donnell's so funny. And she did that catching, she did that, like, where she caught it in her hat. Like, that was her. It wasn't like a trick thing or anything.
That's
like,
cool.
She did that. Because she's good. Although I'm pretty sure that's not a legally caught ball.
Yeah.
In any baseball game. No, you have to catch it with your hand.
I didn't know
that wouldn't actually be an out.
What if you're cupping your hat? know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's not a legally caught. That's not an out. Sorry, sweetie. Mm. But I do. No, I think and A League of Their Own is just such a great movie.
Yeah, so I had to throw that in there.
So those were my honorables.
Mostly the ones we've already said, but I also am going to include the Mean Girls cast.
Oh yeah.
All the ladies in there, which include Tina and Amy, and then Anna Gasteyer, Lizzie Kaplan, Lacey Chabert, Rachel McAdams, and then the other two girls that are just so-so. Lindsay Lohan and Amanda Seyfried. Mm. Blech.
Yeah. And, you know, throwing out there, also really like Clueless, the Clueless cast.
That is, I think that's a hilarious movie.
And I don't know if individually they're geniuses in comedy, but together that's an amazing cast.
Well, that's really writing. A lot of that's writing. And, it's Amy Heckerling, I think, right?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Who is, did she direct that as well? I think she might have directed it, too.
I think she did.
That's by far is her funniest, one of her funniest, like, scripts. Everybody in that is pretty funny together. Isn't Paul Rudd in that?
He is. Yeah. A young Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah.
And he's adorable. Yeah. And if you weren't in love, I was in love with him with that movie.
I know.
I totally fell in love with him. But I had to say Clueless, it's one of those things where it just shows how important casting is and getting the right people, because it could have easily fallen apart, but they got the right cast at the right time. And again, I don't know if any of those girls really were geniuses on their own. Brittany Murphy probably is the only one in that cast that I was like, wow, she's amazing. Outside of this, but together they were right for their roles, and they were cast perfectly, and they're amazing.
Yeah, Brittany Murphy
and Donald Faison.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Brittany Murphy in King of the Hill as Luann.
Here's the thing: Brittany Murphy was so talented. Yeah. She had so, and I think that she got stuck in the rom com thing for a while, and people were like, "Oh, whatever." But she had a lot of skills. That girl was talented.
Yeah. My only honorable mention that I really kind of enjoyed is Claudette Colbert in It Happened One Night. She's pretty awesome.
Oh God, she's great in that movie. I didn't think about that one. I also almost thought about Shirley MacLaine in The Apartment.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know if I'd call that I know it's a comedy, but is her performance really a comedic performance? Like, it's one of the most heartbreaking performances of any film in the world. So I don't know. I mean, but she's funny in it,
it's dark.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Well, her part's like kind of dark and she's like the straight character, you know?
Yeah.
Where Jack Lemmon was the funny guy in that. Which it's funny because it's harder to play the straight man.
It can
in
be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shirley MacLaine's talented. So
yeah. You know who hasn't a lot of movies?
I think she got a career ahead of her, that Shirley MacLaine.
Who's the girl?
She's also great in Downton Abbey.
Who's the girl from Veep?
Julie Louise Dreyfus.
She hasn't a lot of movies.
No, she's not a movie. She does a lot of TV. She's more of a TV person. But I enjoyed her in Enough Said.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie as a whole, maybe I didn't think it was the best thing ever, but I think she was good in it. But again, she's more of a TV person, and she's great in Veep. I love her in Veep.
Enough Said.
That was the one, James Gandolfini.
Oh yeah.
I think she was funny in that.
Mm-hmm. She's also really funny in, I think, Deconstructing Harry. She's in the beginning of it.
Oh yeah.
And she's pretty great in that. That was my only honorable mention, Claudette Colbert. But
It Happened One Night's one of my favorite movies of all time.
On a couple of lists I saw like Marilyn Monroe for a couple of things.
I know. And I don't think she's that funny.
I think it's good
writing, maybe, and the people around her, they surrounded her with very talented, funny guys, but she just does her little baby voice and whatever.
I'm going to go out and say it. I'm going to go on
record. I know what you're going to say. You've said it a number of times.
I don't
on
think
record.
She's very good.
I know you don't. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows. I think that she surrounded herself with a lot of great, like, talented people. But if you single out her performances, it doesn't do anything for me. Anything else, Jenny? Any other
No,
ones?
That was all mine. That was it. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for us today. Kind of a short podcast. We're down Brandon and Adam today. So kind of a truncated show.
Yeah. So thank you for filling in, Michelle.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Appreciated.
And check out Michelle's podcast where she basically, whatever kind of is playing that week or is kind of, whatever had like a really cool episode, she kind of talks about that episode of TV, anything TV. So sometimes it's Game of Thrones, sometimes it's Walking Dead.
She watches everything.
Yeah,
so, I watch a lot of TV. So, I love TV. Yeah, it's my favorite thing in the world.
If there's something you want her to talk about, or you know, you want to tweet her about.
You can tweet at me and you can follow me. I don't have very many followers yet because I'm new, but you can follow me on the Twitters. It's previously on Pod.
Yeah. And what is your Twitter?
Michelle Coyle. I wish I tweeted more. I'm terrible at it. I forget. Yeah. I'm terrible at tweeting, guys. But I'm really working hard on tweeting from my previously on Pod thing. God, you guys are asking a lot of me. Ugh.
So you could check her out. Again, go to iTunes and type in Previously On Podcast, and you'll get it. So far, I think there's a Game of Thrones season premiere episode. There's a Walking Dead. There's a How I Met Your Mother. You were terribly disappointed. Right?
I was horribly disappointed.
No spoiler alerts. No spoilers.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, and the other thing is I do label all of the episodes what that one is. So if you haven't watched that yet or you want to listen to it later or you're like, that's the stupidest show ever, you don't have to listen to it.
Yeah, you could skip it.
Just skip it.
So
whatever.
They're labeled on the title of the podcast. So
it says like the name of the show. Like it'll say How I Met Your Mother season or series finale or
season whatever.
Yeah, episode. Like, you know, season 4, episode 19, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
So check that out. You can check us out. Tweet at us at the film podcast. You could find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
And what else? What else do we have to plug? That's it.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Keep on... do us a favor and rate us on iTunes. That would really help. And stay tuned. We're eventually going to go into a bigger website thing. Our website's going to expand and have a lot of cool stuff with like TV, movies, music, comic books, all of that stuff. So keep an eye out for that. We'll announce it soon. And that's it. Right, guys? Anything
right.
else? You guys want
yep.
to? Oh, one more thing. If you have, you know, an extra $1, $5, whatever you have, there's this thing, Adam Carolla is being sued by the patent trolls. And basically what it means is if he kind of goes down, they're going to just start going down the list of podcasts. And eventually your favorite podcast might not be on the air, including this one, because of the patent trolls. And Jenny, do you know what the website is? So we'll post it on our website, but if you literally go to the Adam Carolla website, he has a big old banner for that, and basically he's crowdfunding for his legal defense, so we could all collectively kind of beat the patent trolls, and you know, because a case like this, it's estimated to cost like, you know, like from $2 to $4 million to put up a defense against this thing, and I mean, he does have a lot of money, but you know, I don't think he has. I don't think he has the money to fight this on his own. So if you like podcasts and you want to continue to listen to them for free, you should definitely help out with that, please, if you can. Anything you have, $1, $5, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But go over to Adam Carolla's website, and it'll be on there. Or it'll be on our website at thefilmpodcast.com. All right. Until next time, have a good week.